From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series of studies of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns commences part two of a message entitled, One Bible, One Gospel. Paul referred to the gospel he preached as the gospel of God. There have been those who have taught and continue to teach that Paul's gospel was unique to him, that it had little or no relation to the rest of the Scriptures, particularly to the Old Testament. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is demonstrating that the Bible is one book, that the gospel Paul preached is contained in the Old Testament as well as in the New. In the first part of this message, we saw that the Old Testament gave advance promises of the gospel of Christ through the various covenants, the prophecies, the types, and the historical events. Today, Dr. Cairns again sets out the proposition that the whole of inspired Scripture centers upon the gospel of Jesus Christ as God's sole way of salvation. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Surgery for Healing. The text is found in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. It is the Lord's way to tear before He heals. This is the honest love of His heart, and the sure surgery of His hand. He also bruises before He binds up, or else it would be uncertain work. The law comes before the gospel, the sense of need before the supply of it. Is our listener now under the convincing, crushing hand of the Spirit? Has he received the spirit of bondage again to fear? This is a salutary preliminary to real gospel healing and binding up. Do not despair, dear heart, but come to the Lord with all thy jagged wounds, black bruises, and running sores. He alone can heal, and He delights to do it. It is our Lord's office to bind up the brokenhearted, and He is gloriously at home at it. Let us not linger, but at once return unto the Lord from whom we have gone astray. Let us show Him our gaping wounds, and beseech Him to know His own work and complete it. Will a surgeon make an incision, and then leave his patient to bleed to death? Will the Lord pull down our old house, and then refuse to build us a better one? Dost thou ever wantonly increase the misery of poor anxious souls? That be far from thee, O Lord.
Goes beyond the highest star and reaches to
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
The book of Romans, chapter 1. Last Sabbath evening, we got to the second verse of Romans, chapter 1. We will read the first three verses just to see the second verse in its full setting. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I have been at pains over these first few messages to point out that this is an epistle in which the Apostle sets before us very powerfully a great statement of theme that is found in verse 16 and 17 of the first chapter. Later on, as he works that out, we will see how he distributes all the material that he's going to employ in teaching the truth of this great thematic statement. He distributes all the material under two main headings. I've mentioned them. We will come back to them in detail in one, 2, or 10 weeks' time, as the Lord may lead, when we get that far. At the moment, we are looking at the greeting, which is the longest of all Paul's greetings in any of his epistles. That will lead to an introductory passage, but they are all leading up to the great statement of theme. The thematic statement is, in reality, God hath revealed to us a glorious and a powerful gospel message. It is the message of justification for sinners by faith alone, without works. And it comes to us on the merit of Christ and by the imputation to us of his perfect righteousness. This is what Paul is dealing with throughout this epistle. And the more I look at the epistle, the more I am convinced that down to the smallest detail, Paul is working by inspiration every strand of truth back into that fundamental, central statement of theme. I pointed out that in verse 1, for example, he says, this is the gospel of God. This is the gospel. It's not just an aspect of the gospel. It's not just some peripheral matter to do with the gospel. It is not some deduction drawn from the gospel. This is the very meat and marrow of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he deals with that in verse 1, Paul says this is the apostolic gospel. Now in verse 2, he is making the statement, this is the gospel of the entire Bible. And the great theme before us in verse 2, as I announced it last Lord's Day, is very simple. It is one Bible, one gospel. One Bible, one gospel. The whole of inspired Scripture, this is the apostles' contention, and this is my contention, and this will be the labor to establish this tonight and indeed throughout our studies in Romans, that the whole of inspired Scripture centers on the gospel of God, what Paul calls the gospel of Christ, as God's sole way of saving sinners at any point in time in the history of his dealings with men. Now, last week we made a lot of progress. We got point one cleared away, where we dealt with the character of the Old Testament according to this second verse of Romans 1. It is the Holy Scriptures. That's the Old Testament he's talking about there. It's the Holy Scriptures. And the Holy Scriptures are described as the advance promise of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week I took the time, whether I had it or not, I took it, because I think it's very important that God's people get out of the trap that has been so foolishly set before them by preachers who know no better, of isolating the Old Testament from the centrality of the gospel of Christ, making the Old Testament Jewish history, failing to see its integral union with the gospel of the New Testament. And I was showing last week how in various ways the Old Testament is full of advance promises of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The covenants give advance promises of the gospel. The prophecies of the Old Testament give advance promises of the gospel. We looked at some of those prophecies. The types of the Old Testament give advance promises of the gospel. And even the historical events of the Old Testament give advance promises of the gospel. So that we can only come to the conclusion of a famous Lutheran commentator, R.C. Ichlensky, when he said it is beyond question that in their writings the prophets stated the full contents of the gospel in advance. The Old Testament saints were saved by faith in those very contents, as indeed we also are saved. Now, having dealt with the character of the Old Testament, I want us to consider something that's very vital to the whole scheme of biblical revelation, and that is the connection of the Old Testament with the New. You will see that in our English Bible, verse 2 of Romans 1 appears in parentheses. And I really have no quarrel with that. There's very good reason why the translators put these words in parentheses. I think that their main reason is to ensure that we make the connection that Paul intended us to make directly between the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 3. The gospel of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The gospel of God is the gospel concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a very important connection to make, so the parentheses are well conceived. However, having said that, it is possible for us to obscure another truth just by noting the parentheses, and that is that while it is true that Paul wants us to conjoin the end of verse 1 with the beginning of verse 3, I think that equally he wants us to see another truth, that the promises of the Old Testament, verse 2, are promises concerning God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's vital to an understanding of all the promises of the Old Testament, and we're going to be coming back to that. Something else I think you almost unconsciously imagine something put in parentheses that, it's really of lesser importance than what goes before and what comes after. And that would be a grave mistake to make here. Because what Paul is dealing with here is not a matter of minor importance. So important is the fact that the New Testament gospel is the theme of the entire Old Testament. So important is that fact in this book of Romans that Paul makes it into a very major theme. And to establish the truth that his glorious, his powerful message for the world is the very same message that God had been promising throughout the Old Testament, to establish that fact, Paul argues the case in no less than 10 separate places throughout this epistle to the Romans. Now, it would be a major study in itself for me to go through all 10 of those places. You'll understand. But I don't want you simply to take my word on it. We have read verse 1 and verse 2. So immediately he is getting into it. Go down to verse 17. And he's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, where? Habakkuk chapter 2. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Chapter 3, verse 21. In what is in many ways the focal point of Paul's argument in this first part of the epistle. We'll see when we get to this 21st verse. But now, those are the words that should always alert you in the writings of Paul. When Paul is mounting an argument and he's going along, and then he says, but now, always be aware, you are at a very critical point in the argument. And so we are here. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So once again, Paul is saying the gospel I'm preaching is the gospel that the law and the prophets were preaching. Chapter 4, verse 3. Talking about Abraham as the example of a man justified by grace through faith alone in Christ. For what saith the Scripture? Notice the argument. My gospel is the gospel by which Abraham was saved. What saith the Old Testament Scripture? It's the same argument. Later on in chapter 4, from verse 6 through to verse 25, the end of the chapter, he goes on dealing with David. And then he comes back to Abraham. And throughout that long passage, it's the argument from these Old Testament illustrations that this gospel that I'm preaching, that the Jews so despise and they hate and they're objecting to, and Jews were saying then what apostates are saying today, this is a Pauline imposition upon the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, it is not my invention. It is not my imposition. It is not a departure. It is the very gospel that God has been preaching throughout the Old Testament. Just look at Abraham, the father of the nation. Just look at David, the greatest king of Israel. Just look at these two mighty mountains of Old Testament testimony and history, and see in them the gospel that I'm preaching unto you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.